From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Andrew Kitchenman. It's normal for incoming governors to clean house at the highest levels of state agencies. Commissioners and their top deputies usually cycle out every 4 or 8 years, but not so much when it comes to attorneys, even senior ones, at the state law department. That's led some people to question why the new administration of Governor Mike Dunleavy fired 2 senior attorneys. As Nat Herz with the Alaska's Energy Desk reports, no one has answers yet.
We'll hear argument first this morning in case 17-949.
Last month, Ruth Botstein was representing the state of Alaska on the biggest stage for an attorney like her, the United States Supreme Court.
Ms. Botstein?
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. Understand
that was Botstein during oral arguments in a high-profile lawsuit originally brought by a man named John Sturgeon. Sturgeon is a moose hunter challenging the federal government's authority to manage navigable waters in national preserves. His case is a favorite cause of conservative politicians, including Alaska's new governor, Republican Mike Dunleavy, and Botstein was arguing the case on Sturgeon's behalf. But a month after her Supreme Court appearance, less than an hour after Dunleavy was sworn in, and before he'd even named his attorney general, Botstein was fired. The decision baffled people in Alaska's legal world. Sturgeon says he's confused, too, and hasn't been able to get an explanation.
When you appear in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, that's the kind of the Super Bowl and World Series and Stanley Cup all combined. A lot of people get nervous and stuff, but Ruth did a fantastic job. I was extremely surprised that they didn't keep her, and I'm not sure the reason.
It's unusual, or maybe even unprecedented, for new administrations to reach down into the ranks of the Department of Law to fire individual attorneys, even if those attorneys are technically political appointees without union protections. And Botstein wasn't the only attorney who was fired. Another was Libby Bacalar, whose portfolio included the state's election-related cases. Both women were respected in Alaska's legal community. When Botstein applied for a seat on the state Supreme Court, attorneys who worked with her rated her a full point higher than those who'd worked with Kevin Clarkson, who Dunleavy named as his attorney general. One of Bacalar's supervisors wrote in a performance evaluation that she did a, quote, splendid job on elections issues. Asked why the two attorneys were fired, the governors and attorney general's offices both refused to say. In the 3-sentence email notifying Botstein of her firing, there was also no explanation. Bacalar, meanwhile, declined to do a recorded interview for this story, but she posted a theory about her dismissal on Twitter.
Binary decision to make. Will we continue to passively enable white supremacy, or will we actively work to dismantle it? I'm here for the latter.
That tape is from earlier this year, when Bacalar spoke at a rally in Juneau against the Trump administration's policy of separating parents and children at the U.S.-Mexico border. Since Trump's election in 2016, Bacalar has used her personal blog, One Hot Mess, as a platform for strident criticism of the president, often in colorful terms. She's called him, quote, gaslighting misogynistic trash, a bona fide sociopath, and a, quote, pathological liar. That's drawn objections from at least one Alaskan. Nancy Driscoll-Stroop is an attorney in Palmer, and she says she filled out a feedback form on Dunleavy's website, urging his transition team to carefully vet the state attorneys handling sensitive political cases, because she thought the attorney's politics were more liberal than Dunleavy's. Stroop says she also thinks attorneys who work on those cases should avoid political activism, and she's been complaining about Bacalar's blog for more than a year.
There's a lack of trust if the attorneys in that section are completely biased and political or political activists. And I would feel the same way if they were partisan in the other direction, too.
In her tweet, Bacalar said she was forced to leave her job because of her political beliefs. Quote, for no apparent reason other than I dislike Trump and care about social justice and frequently say so on my own time, just like the First Amendment allows. Botstein has also posted some anti-Trump tweets, but her social media profile is much lower than Bacalar's. She sent out just one tweet since the month Trump was inaugurated, and she has just 14 followers. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
A bill transferring 19 acres of federal land in Sitka to the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium has passed the U.S. House of Representatives and is on its way to the White House for the president's signature. The move clears the way for Search to build a new medical center in Sitka. The bill will give Search an additional 19 acres of land adjacent to its current campus on Japonski Island in Sitka and room to replace the 70-year-old Mount Edgecombe Hospital. During debate on the floor of the U.S. House on Monday, Alaska Representative Don Young encouraged his colleagues to support the transfer, saying it would allow Search to secure financing for expansion.
The hospital was constructed towards the end of World War II. It is in dire need to update due to its age and condition. For the consortium to secure financing for the project to update the conditions of the facilities, they need land on the hospital campus, which is currently held by IHS, conveyed by warranty deed.
The final vote in the House was 403-3. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski introduced the bill in April of last year. After several committee hearings, it passed the Senate in November of last year. This past summer, Juneau got nearly 200 new gardeners. They were elementary school students who learned the ins and outs of growing their own food at summer camp. KTOO's Zoe Gruskin has more.
Cold, gray winter may be settling on Juneau, but kids at Riverbend and Glacier Valley Elementary Schools are still talking about the rainbow of fruits and vegetables they helped grow this summer.
Potatoes.
What color?
Purple carrots, mm-hmm. And orange carrots, like usual, and tomatoes, mm-hmm. That were red.
The garden not only was a place for food production, but it was a great place to go hang out. The kids loved hanging out there, and they learned so much.
Karen Goodell is director for after-school programming at the two schools, and she oversees their combined summer camp. The garden is her passion project. She says it gives kids a friendlier idea about healthy food.
I think there were kids who were eating vegetables and fruits that would never typically do that. I mean, dirt and all, some of them.
Goodell says that's because the kids feel connected to the food.
It's that sense of ownership. If a kid has actually had their hands in the process of growing that carrot, they savor that carrot because they own that carrot.
A gardener herself, Goodell started the Riverbend Garden 3 years ago. She wanted to create a hands-on learning experience for kids, and she hoped it would create community. A student might struggle in the classroom, but in the garden, Goodell says, it could be a totally different picture.
So you saw kids who might not typically be invested in your standard school activity are now super invested. And friendships that were formed that weren't necessarily happening on the playground, but in the environment of the garden were happening.
Last month, the Alaska Department of Natural Resources named Riverbend the winner of their Farm to School Challenge. Prizes included children's books on gardening and some Alaska-grown swag. Senator Lisa Murkowski tweeted her congratulations. Goodell says it's nice to be recognized. She has big dreams of expanding the garden project. Maybe one day, Juneau could grow its own produce.
In the meantime, we've got our future, which are the kids who are learning more about that possibility. So even on smaller scales, if they ended up having their own personal gardens in their own homes as they move forward, you know, I feel like we've made a big contribution to their well-being.
Goodell says planning for next summer's garden will begin in the new year. In Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin.
The estate of the late Grace Scheibel recently gifted the University of Alaska Fairbanks $2.7 million, one of the largest private donations in UAF history. According to a university press release, Scheibel was a 1949 UAF grad who went on to become a lawyer and serve as Alaska's first woman attorney general. She was also a UA system regent and longtime supporter of the university. Scheibel estate representative Jeff Cook says her will was very specific, as is evident in the latest gift, which directs $2.2 million to graduate fellowships in the geosciences.
The bulk of the estate was to go for scholarships for students at the Geophysical Institute. Grace had a great love of Alaska, and I think really foresaw the importance of the Arctic in the future, and so that was an area she really wanted to fund.
The gift establishes an endowment which will indefinitely fund two annual scholarships. The remainder of the donation, $400,000, goes towards community and technical college healthcare service program scholarships, KUAC Public Broadcasting, and the Fine Art Conservation at the University of the North. A Southwest Alaska village man suspected of stabbing another person with an ulu has been charged with felony assault. In weather, up to 1 to 2 inches of snow.